This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Teachers rallied in Raleigh this week to demand improvements in their classrooms and better pay. So many hoped that when the House's budget proposal came out, it would reflect some changes. Their proposal is here, and it's not exactly what the teachers and state employees were hoping for. They are not the only ones who may be disappointed. The Medicaid expansion that Governor Cooper has called for is also absent. WUNC Capital Bureau Chief Jeff DeBeery has been covering that, as well as special election primaries in the 3rd and 9th Congressional Districts, and he joins me now. Welcome back, Jeff.
Nice to see you, Frank.
Let's talk about this budget process again. Remind us how it goes.
It is relatively early in what I will describe as a marathon, but we know a marathon is 26 miles and I think 365 yards. We don't know how long this marathon is going to be. Starts with the ceremonial budget release of the governor. We're past that. This is now the House proposal. Once the House approves its budget, which is likely to happen within the next hour or two, the Senate will pass its budget later in the month. Then the two chambers get together. They pass behind closed doors what we call a conference report. It's a compromise. That legislative budget then goes to the governor. We are all but certain the governor is going to veto the budget, no matter how it looks, no matter what details are in there. And then we get this stalemate. But how long it lasts for is the big, huge $64 million question. There are no longer veto-proof majorities. So the legislature is going to pass a budget. The governor is going to veto it. But some of those things you're talking about, Medicaid expansion and just how much more to give teachers, these are things that are going to delay the passage of a new state spending plan for weeks, if not months. So where we are right now, to answer your question, is that the House has rolled out its spending plan. And as we've seen in recent years, the House has particular things that it really likes and wants. One very specific example is $31 million for the film grant program. That's not something the Senate really cares about. I'll be surprised if we see much money on the Senate side, but the House does its thing, the Senate does its thing, and then they kind of go and hash this out over the next month.
All right, we'll talk about it. Yeah. Just to let you know where we are in time, we're going out live, and you're listening to this live. You may be listening to this later in the day,
yes.
So things
important.
May have changed
Thank
a little
you.
Bit,
yeah.
But just to point out where we are live right now at the noon hour. So talk about the House budget. Well, and teachers are on our minds right now because of the rally in Raleigh. So what about the education budget?
Overall, it's a $24 million budget. And what's the big picture on teachers is that this House spending plan includes an average 4.6% bump for teachers. It would be, and Republicans will be quick to point this out, the sixth consecutive year in which teachers, educators have received a raise. Also worth noting that there would be no pay bump for teachers with less than 16 years of experience. And generally what happens with these raises is that whenever the budget does pass, whether it's late June or late September, raises for state employees and educators are retroactive to July 1st. Within this House plan, raises would not take effect until January 1st. So the raises would not come for 6 months later than they usually do. So those are some of the educational pieces. There's money for classroom supplies. There would be a little bit more significant raises for principals. And there's a lot more in there, of course, in a multi-hundred page budget.
Is there any way to compare what teachers were asking for to what's in this budget? As you say, most of the money goes to teachers with 16 years experience and beyond.
It is, broadly speaking, it is not as much as they would like. And again, we're going to have a different proposal from the Senate. It might be the same on average raise, but it might be slotted differently for teachers that are newer. There's, of course, recruitment and retainment, and that's one of the things that they're trying to balance.
All right, and teachers are state employees, but there are other state employees as well. How are they treated in the House plan so far?
They are. The proposal for state employees, full disclosure, we are state employees, would put forth a 1% or $500 raise, which is, it would be greater, whichever one is greater based on your salary. State Employee Association of North Carolina, Scenic, as it's known, called this a slap in the face. They were pretty upset about it. They said this is not an adequate offering, an adequate raise for state employees. So that's where this stands. We'll see if the Senate puts any more money
in
for state employees.
And to be clear, we are considered state employees. However, we do not receive direct state funding.
Thank you.
So we need to point that out.
Important.
Collective action, thousands of getting back to the teachers now, the big teachers rally in Raleigh. A little controversy brewing, something that your eye caught and others caught in a photograph that went made the rounds.
Second consecutive year that educators have rallied in downtown Raleigh. It was you know, there's a good energy about it. Having covered a lot of different rallies, this is one that is civil. There weren't arrests. There's not a lot of vile language kicking around. At the same time, it is getting to a point where it feels very much political. You know, the governor spoke. Reverend William Barber spoke. Should note that the state treasurer, a Republican, asked to speak, and he was told no. So there is a mall on the north side of the legislature. It's called Halifax Mall. And I was out on the terrace of the legislature, third floor, at several turns for a while on Wednesday afternoon. Took a number of pictures, and there was a good crowd. There were thousands of people there. Not trying to diminish this crowd in any way, shape, or form. Later in the day, there's a picture that emerges on social media, and I think noteworthy, it was retweeted a couple of times. It has since been taken down, but retweeted a couple of times by the president of the NCAE, North Carolina Association of Educators. That's the organization that really orchestrated this rally on Wednesday. It was a fake photo. I mean, anybody who was there, you can look at, I mean, the photo was garbage. Yeah. It was fake. And, you know, it's politics, and there's all sorts of spin and manipulation. But from my perspective, facts are important, and we really got to try to stick to
what's real. And it's been fact-checked, and it's been looked into, when we catch that stuff, we need to report it, and there it was. Yeah. So, and as you say, it's been taken down. Okay, back to the budget. Medicaid expansion, governor wants it. House doesn't seem to want it.
Well, I don't know about that. I you know, it's fascinating because there is some appetite for, don't call it Medicaid expansion on the House Republican side. Of course, how do you do it? How do you message it? How do you roll it out? Is it part of the budget? Is it not part of the budget? And ultimately, I think there are multiple scenarios. We might not see expansion. We could see some form of expansion. And it could be within a final spending plan, or it could be separate. These are the big unknown questions at this point. And this is likely what is going to keep a question mark surrounding the budget until late summer or early fall.
This question mark this year might be more interesting than in the past several years.
Of
because when the governor who is expected to veto whatever comes out of the joint, these joint negotiations between the House and the Senate, it will not be overridden, or may not be overridden in the House, and
talking about his budget, it will not be overridden.
Will not be overridden. Therefore, there's going to have to be some negotiation in ways that weren't so necessary in previous years.
Republicans prepared for this moment, knowing, expecting that at some point the supermajorities would have departed, and here we are. We're not going to have a government shutdown. We're not going to have like a state government shutdown at any point. What's going to happen on July 1st is there's a law that was previously passed. And when there is no new budget on July 1st, and that is our expectation, previous spending levels will just move forward. So that gives Republicans a little bit of an ability to walk away from the negotiating table. But Medicaid's the huge elephant in the room here. Yes.
We're talking about state politics and taking a look at a review of what's going on with the state budget today on The State of Things. Jeff DeBerry is our Capitol Bureau chief. Let's talk about special congressional races. Third District had its primary this week. What was the outcome?
On the Democratic side, we'll start there just because it's a little bit cleaner. This is a Republican district. President Trump won it by about 20 points. On the Democratic side, a guy named Alan Thomas carried 50% of the vote. He's a former three-term mayor of Greenville. He moves on to the general election, which will be September 10th. On the Republican side, in this Republican district, it's a little more crowded. There were 17 GOP candidates. You needed 30% plus one to advance to that general special election. Nobody did it, so we're going to have a runoff on July 9th. Interestingly, it's between two doctors. Greg Murphy finished first with about 23% of the vote. He's in the North Carolina House right now. He's actually somebody who has supported closing that coverage gap, that non-expansion of Medicaid. So Greg Murphy finished first in the primary, but didn't have enough votes to avoid a runoff. And he's going to face a woman by the name of Joan Perry. She's a pediatrician. She's a political newcomer. She is very much pro-life. That's I don't want to say it's her only issue, but that is the front and center issue for her. It's going to be interesting to me, observing this race over the next 2 months, how much money comes in from the outside, and also how much this feels like an establishment versus an outsider race in terms of draining the swamp, and you know, how much she aligns herself with Trump, how much that matters, and also turnout. Turnout stunk on Tuesday night. If we're being frank, it was 14.5%.
Yeah, no, and dollars. And if a lot of money comes in, it's interesting, dollars per voter, because 14.5% there, then there'd be this runoff and the final. I mean, a very few voters could put a member of Congress into Washington.
And with the power of incumbency, could put him there for a while.
All right, let's talk about the 9th Congressional District. Primary coming up May 14th. What does that look like?
The third, backpedaling just really quickly, that was the district vacated or a vacancy created when Walter Jones died. This 9th district never had a winner certified. Of course, there was the election fraud that took place with absentee balloting in Bladen County back in the fall. So we now have the special election here. Dan McCready, the Democrat, who appeared to have lost narrowly in November, he's the Democrat in this race. He is unchallenged. So he obviously won the primary. He moves on to the he has not won the primary yet because the primary is May 14th. He will win the primary. On the Republican side, there are 9 Republicans, and then also Chris Anglin, who is this Democrat, independent-turned-claimed Republican who listeners might remember. He was involved in the state Supreme Court race last year. On the Republican side, you've got a state senator in Dan Bishop and also a county commissioner from Union County in Stony Rushing. And those are 2 of the names that we are expecting to be very close to the top of that 9-member primary.
We will stay tuned. WUNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBerry. Thank you, Jeff.
Always a treat, Frank.
Just ahead, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's another superhero movie. And this one's taken in over $1.5 billion in just a week. We'll talk about that and why we love our superheroes here in America. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.